नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 4 चैप्टर 11 टेक्स्ट 29 तम एनम अंग आत्मनि अंगात्मनि मुक्ता विग्रहे तमेनम अंगात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे तमेनम अंगात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे जपाश्रितं निर्गुणं एकं अक्षरं व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानं अन्विच्छ विमुक्तं आत्मदृक् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तम् आत्मदृक् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन् इदं भेदं असत् प्रतीयते यस्मिन्निदं भेदम् असत् प्रतीयते यस्मिन्निदं भेदम् असत् प्रतीयते तमेनम अंगात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन्नितं भेदम् असत् प्रतीयते तमेनम अंगात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन्नितं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते तमेनमङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते तमेनमङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते माताजी तमेनमङ्गात्मनि मुक्त विग्रहे व्यपाश्रितं निर्गुणमेकमक्षरम् आत्मानमन्विच्छ विमुक्तमात्मदृग् यस्मिन्निदं भेदमसत् प्रतीयते तं हिम् एनं दैट् अंग माय डियर ध्रुव आत्मनि इन द माइंड मुक्त विग्रहे Free from anger, vyapashritam, situated, nirgunam, transcendental, ekam, one, aksharam, the infallible Brahman, atmanam, the self, anvichha, try to find out, vimuktam, uncontaminated ஆத்மத்ரிக் ஃபேசிங் டுவர்ட்ஸ் த சூப்பர் சோல் யஸ்மின் இன் விச் இதம் திஸ் பேதம் டிஃபரன்சியேஷன் அசத் அன்ரியல் பிரதியதே அப்பியர்ஸ் டு பி. Translation. My dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. My dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person, who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus by self-realization you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The living entities have three kinds of vision according to their positions in self-realization. According to the bodily concept of life, one sees differentiation in terms of varieties of bodies. The living entity actually passes through many varieties of material forms, but despite all such changes of body, he is eternal. When living entities therefore are viewed in the bodily concept of life, one appears to be different from another. Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj, who was looking upon the Yakshas as different from him or as his enemies. Factually, no one is an enemy or a friend. Everyone is passing through different types of bodies under the law of karma. But as soon as one is situated in his spiritual identity, he does not see differentiation in terms of this law. In other words, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita 1854, பிரம்மபூத்த பிரசன்னாத்மா நசோசிதின காங்கஷதி சமஸ்சர்வேஷு பூதேஷு மத்பக்தி லபதே பராம். A devotee who is already liberated does not see differentiation in terms of the outward body. He sees all living entities as spirit souls, eternal servants of the Lord. Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Lord Manu to see with that vision. He was specifically advised to do so because he was a great devotee and should not have looked upon other living entities with ordinary vision. Indirectly, Manu pointed out to Dhruva Maharaj that out of material affection, Dhruva thought of his brother as his kin and the Yakshas as his enemies. Such observation of differentiation subsides as soon as one is situated in his original position as an eternal servant of the Lord. தமேன மங்காத்மனி முக்த விக்ரஹே விபாஷிதம் நிர்குணமேகமக்ஷரம் ஆத்மானம் அன்விட்ச விமுக்தமாத்ம த்ருக் யஸ்மின் நிதம் பேதம் அசத் பிரதீயதே. மை டியர் த்ருவ, ப்ளீஸ் தேர் ஃபார் டர்ன் யுவர் அட்டென்ஷன் டு த சுப்ரீம் பர்சன் ஹூ இஸ் இன்ஃபாலிபிள் பிரம்மன். ஃபேஸ் த சுப்ரீம் பர்சனாலிட்டி ஆஃப் காட் ஹெட் இன் யுவர் ஒரிஜினல் பொசிஷன், அண்ட் தஸ் பை செல்ஃப் ரியலைசேஷன் யூ வில் ஃபைண்ட் திஸ் மெட்டீரியல் டிஃபரன்சியேஷன் டு பி மியர்லி ஃபிளிக்கரிங். நமோ விஷ்ணுபாதாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே ஜெயபதாகா சுவாமின் நிதி நாமினி நம ஆச்சாரியபாதாய நிதாய கிருபாப்ரதாயினே கௌரகதா தாமதாய நகரகிராமதாரிணே நமோம் விஷ்ணுபாதாய கிருஷ்ணபிரேஷ்டாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்திவேதாந்தஸ்வாமின் நிதிநாமினே நமஸ்தே சாரஸ்வதே தேவே கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணே நிர்விசேஷ சூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேசதாரிணே வைராக்ய வித்யா நிஜபக்தி யோக சிக்ஷார்த்தமேக புருஷ புராண ஸ்ரீகிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய சரீரதாரி கிருபாம் புத்தேரியஸ்தமஹம் பிரபத்யே காலாநஷ்டம் பக்தியோகம் நிஜம் யஹ் பிராதுஷ்கர்த்தும் கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய நாமா ஆவிர்பூதஸ்தஸ்ய பாதாரவிந்தே காடம் காடம் லியதாம் சித்தபங்க. நமோ மகாவதான்யாய கிருஷ்ண பிரேம பிரதாய தே கிருஷ்ணாய கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய நாம்னே கௌரத்விஷே நம. வாஞ்சா கல்பதருபியஸ்ய கிருபா சிந்துபியேவ ச பதிதானாம் பாவனேபியோ வைஷ்ணவேபியோ நமோ நம. ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதர சிவாசாதி கௌரபக்த விருந்தம். ஹரே கிருஷ்ண 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 ஹரே ஹரே, ஹரே ராம ஹரே ராம 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 ஹரே. The living entities have three kinds of vision according to their positions in self-realization. These three kinds of vision refer to how one perceives the world how one perceives others, in this is brought out in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 18, texts 20, 21 and 22. I'll read the translation and purport. These are short purport, so I'll just read them. So you get an idea of knowledge in the mode of goodness, knowledge in the mode of passion, knowledge in the mode of ignorance. This is goodness. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. A person who sees one spirit soul in every living being, whether a demigod, human being, animal, bird, beast, aquatic or plant, possesses knowledge in the mode of goodness. In all living entities, one spirit soul is there, although they have different bodies in terms of their previous work, as described in the 7th chapter. The manifestation of the living force in every body is due to the superior nature of the Supreme Lord. Thus, to see that one superior nature, that living force in every body, is to see in the mode of goodness. That living energy is imperishable, although the bodies are perishable. Differences are perceived in terms of the body. Because there are many forms of material existence and conditional life, the living force appears to be divided. Such impersonal knowledge is an aspect of self-realization. This is a vision in the mode of passion. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body, that is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. Purport. The concept that the material body is a living entity and that with the destruction of the body, the consciousness is also destroyed, is called knowledge in the mode of passion. According to that knowledge, bodies differ from one another because of the development of different types of consciousness. Otherwise, there is no separate soul which manifests consciousness. The body is itself the soul, and there is no separate soul beyond the body. According to such knowledge, consciousness is temporary. Or else, there are no individual souls, but there is an all-pervading soul which is full of knowledge, and this body is a manifestation of temporary ignorance. Or beyond this body, there is no special individual or supreme soul. All such conceptions are considered products of the mode of passion. And this is a vision in the mode of ignorance. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. Purport. The quote-unquote knowledge of the common man is always in the mode of darkness or ignorance, because every living entity in conditional life is born into the mode of ignorance. One who does not develop knowledge through the authorities of scriptural injunctions has knowledge that is limited to the body. He is not concerned about acting in terms of the directions of scripture. For him, God is money, and knowledge means the satisfaction of bodily demands. Such knowledge has no connection with the absolute truth. It is more or less like the knowledge of the ordinary animals, the knowledge of eating, sleeping, defending and mating. Such knowledge is described here as the product of the mode of darkness. In other words, knowledge concerning the spirit soul beyond this body is called knowledge in the mode of goodness. Knowledge producing many theories and doctrines by dint of mundane logic and mental speculation is the product of the mode of passion. And knowledge concerned only with keeping the body comfortable is said to be in the mode of ignorance. So there are different types of visions, different ways we can perceive others, and corresponding to our conditioning, our status, whether we are in sattva guna, raja guna, tamo guna, we perceive differently. This sort of perception that Dhruva Maharaj is currently having, where he considers his brother, or he considers his brother a part of an extension of him, and the yakshas as his enemies. This is called material differentiation. This is a great distraction in spiritual life. This is a very big problem. Actually, for those of us who practice Krishna consciousness as grihasthas, this is a constant challenge. How to deal with our material duties without falling under the influence of the modes of passion and ignorance. If we fall into the trap of rajasic vision, this way of seeing the world. He is very good. He glorifies me. He is a good devotee. He is criticizing me. He is a bad devotee. But his criticism may be very useful for me. But I don't think like that. No, he is criticizing me. He is bad. He is glorifying me. He is good. At least one person understands me. This is all. This is the mode of ignorance. It's mode of passion. When there is at least some connection with Vedic authority, the mode of passion is attracted. When there is no connection with Vedic authority, then it is a mode of ignorance. The mode of passion is higher than the mode of ignorance, but both of them are bad for anyone who is seeking liberation from material entanglement. What to speak of someone who is trying to attain love of Krishna, one who is hankering for pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. This sort of materialistic vision is very dangerous, very, very bad. It is very dangerous. Lord Manu wanted to change the vision of Dhruva Maharaj, who was looking upon the Yakshas as different from him or as his enemies. Now in the mode of goodness, one doesn't see like this. One doesn't look at other living entities like this. One understands that the living entities are eternal servants of the Supreme Lord. And it is the Supreme Lord who is the independent, singular controller behind everything that is happening. He is using these living entities to help me progress in Krishna consciousness. So he looks at things in a very, very different... he looks at it from a very different angle. He sees the hand of the Lord everywhere. He sees when let us say, he tries to set up some... like for instance, Prabhupada, in his pastimes as a grihastha, he tried to... his initial idea was to make a lot of money and donate it to the Gaudiya Math so that they can preach. But one by one his business was failing. How did Prabhupada see it? Yasyaham anugrihnami harishye taddhanam shanai. There is one terrifying verse from the Bhagavatam. When that person to whom I have special mercy, I take away everything that he possesses. But Prabhupada saw it like this. He saw Krishna is taking one by one, he's just taking it away. Each and every business endeavor failed. Somebody stole something, some business collapsed. So that is spiritual vision, the same activity. But a materialistic person who may be attempting Krishna consciousness, he will not see like that. He will take it very, very seriously. He said, no, my business is collapsing. I got to save the boat. I got to do it. I must do this. So his vision is very different, because in the mode of passion, we take material life very seriously. In Krishna consciousness, when we practice Krishna consciousness under the guidance of a pure Vaishnava, the pure Vaishnava spiritual master is always trying to help the devotee come to the spiritual plane. And here we see Lord Manu. He is talking to Dhruva Maharaj. Manu himself is one of the 12 Mahajanas, one of the 12 most exalted personalities who understand the true nature of Bhagavata Dharma. He's a very exalted person. Even though he has produced a material manual called Manusamhita, he is himself totally fixed on the spiritual plane. And he was sad. He was distressed upon seeing Dhruva Maharaj acting just like any other materialistic king. He, in the previous verse, he reminded Dhruva Maharaj that look, at the age of 5, you gave up the protection of your mother, you went to the forest, and you achieved full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You should not do this. This is not for you. The idea is that if you have taken to Krishna consciousness very, very seriously and you have satisfied the Supreme Lord and His pure devotees, and then you stoop down to a lower level and then you say, Kali Yuga, human being. The pure Vaishnava will not accept that argument. He will say, no, it's all nonsense, You are a spirit soul. You have to surrender to Krishna. You did it before. You are happy. You achieved it. Now why are you going down? But for somebody else who has fallen, and who's trying to come up, who did not achieve Krishna's special blessings, the spiritual master, same spiritual master may not speak like that. He may speak in a different manner. He may be very encouraged. He may talk things which are very palatable. Even this criticism is actually encouraging. It is due to our materialistic mind, we imagine that when a pure Vaishnava spiritual master chastises us for trying to engage in impure devotional service, we interpret that to be discouragement. This is because of our own foolish materialistic mind, which wants eternally to enjoy in this material world along with Krishna consciousness. But that's not, it doesn't work like that. We cannot, a materialistic vision is incompatible with progressive spiritual life. Therefore, Lord Manu, he came to Dhruva Maharaj and told him, no, this is wrong. This is wrong. You should not take this too seriously. You should not come under the influence of anger. These three are considered enemies for progressive Krishna consciousness. Lust, anger and greed. And we should not fall under this. Those who are grihasthas, they have been given a certain license to act in a certain way in the material field. And that is, everywhere we look at, we see a trap where we can fall into. We can fall into lust, we can fall into anger, we can fall into greed. I need to make money for my family. But at the same time, I can always go outside the boundary. I need to make so much money, all under the heading of Yukta Vairagya. Unnecessary headache. But a pure Vaishnava, spiritual master, he will say, no, you're going beyond the limit. Just like here, Dhruva Maharaj is a king. It is his duty, it is his varna dharma that his brother has been killed. So he has to kill the person who killed him. Life for a life. Okay, fine. So far, so good. So you kill that yaksha who killed your brother. You don't have to kill all those 13,000 yakshas. They didn't do this. One person broke dharma. So you deal with that one person. You're going beyond it. This is the whole problem with lust or anger or greed. Anger specifically can make you mad. Can make you mad. Actually, when people get really angry, they don't know what they speak. They don't know what they do. And this is a lesson for us. Those who have taken up the process of Krishna consciousness, we should not fall under this trap. And this vision of looking at others as these are people who are these are our people, and they are bad, those guys. This way of thinking is itself wrong. This can manifest even amongst the Vaishnava community in many different ways. These are people from my community. These are our people, you know, our people. Those are people from some other country. They are someone else, someone else. Oh, he's a Westerner. Why do you take his understanding of Krishna consciousness seriously? Oh, but that's a Bengali. How can you take his understanding of Krishna consciousness seriously? This is all foolishness. This is a materialistic understanding of spiritual life. Typical of Kanishtha Vaishnavas. So Lord Manu is very sad. He doesn't want Dhruva Maharaj to fall under a materialist, under the clutches of a materialistic vision. There is a traditional example given that shows how different types of vision lead to different types of activities or different types of endeavors. There's an example is given that when I forget there's a Sanskrit verse, but it's not coming to my mind. When a Kamini or a materialistic woman is walking in a road, transcendentalist, one who is seeking liberation, he looks at her differently. He looks at her in a certain manner. Lusty man who is walking by in the same road, he looks at that woman in a different manner. And a dog that is walking by the street, that dog is looking at this woman in a different manner. It is described that the transcendentalist, the person who is seeking transcendence, he is looking at this sensual woman as a threat. This is a big problem. She's a materialistic woman. She's very frightened. So I have to avoid. That sense enjoyer, that lusty man, he's looking at her, the same woman, and he's thinking, wow, this is great. I should date her. But this dog, which is also walking the street, it is looking at the same woman and is thinking, when will she die so that I can participate in a feast, I can eat her body. So the same woman, she's walking. But three different beings are observing her and with a different vision. It's a different vision. Same object of vision, but different vision. The content is actually quite different. And their endeavors are also different. The dog will be walking near her. The lusty man is also following her. And this yogi is just looking away from her. So the same world can be seen by different personalities corresponding to different visions. And these different visions induce us to perform different types of activities. They induce us to perform various types of activities. The type of vision that is conducive for Krishna consciousness is the vision in the mode of goodness, where we are trained to study Bhagavad Gita as taught by Srila Prabhupada and see the world through the specs of Bhagavad Gita. This is called Shastra Chakshu. You look at the world as it is taught in scripture. You don't look at scripture through the eyes of the world. That is called academic scholarship. You go to Oxford University to learn how to do that. But if you want to look at the world through scripture, then you join the Krishna consciousness movement and you learn from the spiritual masters. They'll train you how to look at the world through scripture. Scripture will tell you that you should not take this seriously. This is what you do. Under this circumstance, you do like this. Under that circumstance, you do like that. The mode of goodness is very, very conducive for Krishna consciousness. It is one of the six factors which are which actually help us in progressing in our Krishna consciousness. There are six activities which produce spiritual regress, and there are six activities which produce spiritual progress. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpo niyamagraha janasangascha laulyamcha shadbhir bhaktir vinashyati. Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Instruction teaches us. Atyahara. Too much of accumulation of material so-called necessities. That is a problem. Prayasa. Trying to endeavor in over-endeavoring to obtain those material needs. That is another problem. Prajalpa. Talk which is not helping us become solid in Krishna consciousness. Niyamagraha. Niyamagraha means bhakti niyama agraha or abhakti niyama agraha. Bhakti niyama agraha means to not be very interested in the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga. Abhakti niyama agraha means to be interested in rules and regulations outside of bhakti yoga which is taught in the scriptures. Like this idea that I should have a very, very materially prosperous life while I make spiritual progress. This is abhakti niyama agraha. This is trying to become interested in those aspects of scripture which are not propounding shravanam kirtanam vishnu smaranam pada sevanam archanam vandanam dasyam sakhyam atmani veda. This is actually the highest teaching of scripture. There are so many lower teachings. Scripture teaches dharma, artha, kama, moksha, bhakti. All five purusharthas are taught in scripture. But those who are interested in attaining love of God, they are only interested in that element which is taught, the highest, bhakti. Then that is called bhakti shastras. Then next to it, they may accept elements from moksha shastra, which is in line with bhakti. Then below that, they may come down to the level of dharma shastra, which is in touch with, which is in line with moksha and bhakti. They don't go down lower than that, because even one drop of instruction from the other scriptures will kill you, practically kill you. At least it will stultify your Krishna conscious progress. And your Krishna consciousness progress will be delayed for another 20 years. Unnecessary. So, bhakti niyama agraha. Janasanga. To associate with the non-devotees. Sangat sanjayate kama. Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they note that we develop our desires corresponding to our association. So if we mix up with materialistic people, even materialistic devotees, we will also become materialistic devotees. We mix with devotees who are very elevated in Krishna consciousness, and we try to listen to them, and we don't try to convince them about our materialistic understanding of Krishna consciousness, then we progress in Krishna consciousness. Janasangasya Laulyamcha, and to be greedy for material prosperity. This is another problem. These six items, Rupa Goswami says, they destroy. They actually bring you down. Shaddhir Bhakti Vinashyati. Bhakti is destroyed by this. And then there are six activities, Rupa Goswami says, are very useful. Utsaha, being enthusiastic. Nishchayat, to be certainly, to be convinced of the teachings of Krishna consciousness. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, one develops this confidence when one studies the teachings of the predecessor acharyas. Actually, we are very happy that in Mayapur we have, for instance, the Mayapur Institute. They are trying to convince people to study Srila Prabhupada's books. Very, very important. Very, very important. Srila Prabhupada's, in fact, this was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was their struggle to establish an institution where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings would be studied in Mayapur and taught by practicing Vaishnavas. So in that way we see Mayapur is becoming a spiritual educational center, and that is very, very useful because it gives confidence. Utsaha, nishaya, dhairyat. Then one should be patient. While one has taken up to the practice of pure devotional service, one should be patient. Utsaha, nishaya, dhairya, tatat karma pravartanat. To engage in these, in those various respective activities which are taught in the devotional scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined 64 items of devotional service, and it is our duty to engage ourselves constantly, 24 hours a day, in one or more, as a combination of 64 items of devotional service. These are spelled out very nicely in the Nectar of Devotion. You will also find it in teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The five topmost elements of those 64 items of devotional service are Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Mathurava, Srimurti, Shraddhai, Sevan. To associate with pure Vaishnavas, Sadhu Sangha, Namakirtan, to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Bhagavata Shravan, to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam which propounds pure devotional service to Krishna. Mathuravas, to stay in a holy abode connected to the Lord's pastimes such as Mathura or Abhinna Mathura. Mayapur is all non-different from Mathura Mandal. Srimurti Shraddhai Sevan, to engage in worship of the deity form of the Lord according to scripture with respect and faith. So, Tattva Karma Pravartana, this is another factor which increases our devotional service to the Supreme Lord. Sangatyaga, to become free from the association of non-devotees. This is the only item which appears in both lists. To give up the association of non-devotees comes in both places. It is, if you, associating with non-devotees kills your bhakti, and giving up association of non-devotees enhances your bhakti. Comes in both places. Sangatyaga satovritte, to engage in activities which are in the mode of goodness, to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas who have all exhibited sattvic behavior. This is very, very conducive. Very conducive. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna goes on specifying in the later chapters, this is in goodness, this is passion, this is ignorance. This is goodness, this is passion, this is ignorance. Knowledge in the mode of goodness, determination in the mode of goodness, food in the mode of goodness, happiness in the mode of goodness, and so on. He goes on specifying. Because the mode of goodness is conducive for progress in Krishna consciousness. And in the mode of goodness, we are in touch with reality. We can perceive reality. We are not in an illusion. Illusion means ignorance. So it is very important that we always remember reality. What is reality? Reality is that as spirit souls, we have turned away from Krishna and we are suffering in material existence. This is reality. It is our duty to always remember this reality. And therefore, the pure Vaishnava, the bona fide spiritual master, will always remind his disciples of the reality. The disciple may go through various material crises, but the bona fide spiritual master will always put things in perspective. Always put things in perspective. The reality is Swarupaarthair Heenan Nijasukaparan Krishna Vimukhan Harer Maya Dandyan Guna Nigada Jalaih Kalayati Tathasthulair Lingair Dvyudha Varanaih Kleshanikarai Mahakarmalanaih Nayati Patitan Swarga Nirayau. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's one verse summary of what is going on in the material world. Even millions of years of academic research will not lead to this conclusion. He says that the living entities, they have been deprived of the wealth of their own swarup. Swarupaarthair Heenan, Nija Sukha Paran, because they are interested in their own happiness. Krishna Vimukhan, and because of that they become averse to Krishna. Harer Maya Dandyan, therefore they become subject to punishment from Lord Hari's Maya. Maya does not tolerate this. She wants all the living entities to become unflinching, unquestioning, full-fledged, pure servants of Krishna. So she considers them punishable, just like when I commit a crime, when I break the law of a government, I am punishable. Harer Maya Dandyan Guna Nigada Jalaih Kalayati. So she arrests the living entity. Normally they would use shackles to arrest a person who has committed a crime, but Maya puts us under the shackles of the three modes of goodness, passion and ignorance. See, everything in the material world pulls us according to goodness or passion or ignorance. Guna nigada jalai kalayati tathasthulai lingai dvidavaranai kleshanikarai. And she covers us with a subtle body and a gross body which are reservoirs of misery. The gross body and subtle body themselves are reservoirs of misery. The mind itself produces misery. Simply produces misery, that's all. The gross body also simply produces misery. You don't need a third party to give you trouble. Yourself, the very fact that I am inside my gross body and subtle body gives me misery. Tatha sthulai lingai dvivida varanai klesh nikarai mahakarmaranai. And on top of it, there is another factor. She drags the living entity from the topmost heavenly planet to the lowest hellish planets, corresponding to their karma. So miseries are due to various reasons. It's not really that neighbor, it is not really this one, it's not really that one. This is the real reason why I'm suffering. I'm suffering because of this. Or like once Sri Gopi Puranand Prabhu told me, you should always keep in mind that when some devotee gives you a hard time or gives you misery, actually it is your own karma giving you misery through that person, that's all. It is not that person, so don't target that person. That person is happens to be a channel for your karma coming back to you. You should always remember this and don't be distracted from your progress to attain love of Krishna. He also told me, keep in mind that whenever you become depressed, there are only two shelters in this material world. One is the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which is non-different from Krishna. And the second is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is also non-different from Krishna. So, a bona fide Vaishnava will always remind us of the reality. Reality. This is reality. So how do we get out of material existence? For that we have to surrender to full devotional service. If we engage in full devotional service, then automatically the mode of goodness will also develop. But this vision in the mode of goodness, that is very, very useful to perceive reality, to not be afraid of reality. For instance, you cannot attain the spiritual world as long as you are materially impure. This is reality. We should not be disturbed by this reality. It is reality. And therefore, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us through his poems, through his prayers, that we should pray to Krishna for Ahaituki Kripa, causeless mercy and sadhana siddhi. Not Ahaituki Kripa for Kripa Siddhi. Ahaituki Kripa for sadhana siddhi. It is like suppose you are repeatedly failing in an exam. To pray to Krishna for causeless mercy for sadhana siddhi, it's like going to the teacher and saying, you please train me properly so that I can do my exams properly, so that I'll get good marks. Whereas praying to Krishna for causeless mercy, for Kripa Siddhi, is like going to the teacher and saying, just change my mark, that's all. Just change my mark. What is this? That's not the process. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not teaching us to pray to Krishna for causeless mercy, for Kripa Siddhi. repeatedly saying. You see, there he's written very wonderful poems. The other day I was just looking, there's one section within Sharanagati called Bhajan Lalasa, where he has modeled one prayer. Each of them is a prayer to Krishna. Each prayer is modeled after one verse of the Nectar of Instruction, texts 1 to 8. Each one. O Supreme Lord, and I am suffering due to the six urges. This is directly in reference to that Vacho Vegam verse, the six urges. So like that, one by one. And he's saying, please save me from these six urges. Similarly, when it comes to the six don't do's and six do's, or when it comes to the six forms of interaction with Vaishnavas, repeatedly he prays, please make me do this correctly. Make me do that correctly. He's training us to pray to Krishna. Please make me follow Rupa Goswami. He's not he's not giving any indication that we can pray to Krishna, okay, whatever Rupa Goswami has said, okay, whatever, you know. We just dispense with Rupa Goswami and somehow or other, you know, take me back to God. That's not what he's training. He's training us to become obedient to Rupa Goswami. So, that means your perception is not an illusion. You're perceiving reality. This is reality. The material world is a disgusting place. It is reality. It is not only disgusting to non-devotees, it is specifically disgusting to practicing devotees. And material life does not mean only what is undergone by non-devotees, even devotees. We are also partially devotees, partially non-devotees, corresponding to how much we have surrendered to Krishna. So many of the statements in the scriptures that are for non-devotees are very much applicable to us whenever we think and act like a non-devotee. So we should remember that. So therefore, Dhruva Maharaj, because he is listening to Manu, Manu has actually appeared along with several other sages. He is submissive. He has attained the Lord's mercy previously. He understands the nectar of pure Krishna consciousness because he has experienced it before. Therefore, he does not argue back with Lord Manu. He does not say, oh, this is all spiritual stuff. Why are you telling me all this? I am just a human being. I have human needs. He doesn't speak this nonsense. He understands that Lord Manu knows my adhikar, my eligibility. He knows my eligibility. He wants me to come back to that highest position of pure devotional service to the Supreme Lord. He does not want me to come to practice Krishna consciousness at a lower level. He wants me to engage in that. And therefore he accepts it. I remember one true history of one Vaishnava in the Mathura line. Famous Vaishnava. He appeared maybe 200, 300 years back. His name, he was a grihastha before. I think his name was Venkatanatha. Later he took sannyas and he received the name Raghavendra. And I have seen in his biography, written by one of his disciples, he was a Vaishnava, he was married, and his wife was very dutiful, very much devoted to him. He had a young boy, 5-6 years old, and he was completely fixed on devotional service and his duty as a Brahmana. You know, he would do it as a service to the Supreme Lord Vishnu. So he was fixed in that. Then one time, his spiritual master called him and said that in that particular matha, in that particular institution, they were worshipping a certain deity of Lord Ramachandra, which has been coming down from Ikshwaku's time. It's a very ancient deity, Moolarama. And Madhvacharya himself had worshipped that deity and handed it over to his disciples. And through disciplic line, that deity was handed down. So his spiritual master was worshipping that deity. So one day the spiritual master called Venkatanatha and told him, the deity is telling me that you should take sannyas. So he said, Venkatanatha was terrified to even think about it. He said, I'm a young man and I can't even imagine something like this. We have to engage in duties of householder life as taught in the Varnashrama system so that gradually you come to the mode of goodness. And then when you come to the mode of goodness, then you can take up sannyas and you do the greatest good to yourself and others and you provide fearlessness and peace to human society. which is correct. There's nothing wrong with this. It's correct actually. So I want to do this and gradually come to that point. But in fact, Venkatanatha was such an advanced Brahmana Vaishnava that he would never even go and beg for money. He would always depend on Lord Vishnu. I am doing the duties of a Brahmana as taught by my spiritual master. So whatever I am supposed to get, I will get. And it is said, his biographer notes, that usually, now in the Madhva line, people, when they take up Ekadashi Vrata, every Ekadashi Vrata is Nirjala. In their line they have, that is theirs, it's one of their specialities. So his disciple, biographer, he notes that usually in every Madhva home, there are two Ekadashis in a month. But in Venkatanatha's home, there were at least 25 Ekadashis in a month. And he had a small boy. The boy did not even get milk to drink sometimes. Still he would not go and work for the Mayavadis or work for the non-Vaishnavas. Simply depend. So his spiritual master had seen all this. And the Moolarama deity, the deity had also seen all this. So this spiritual master told, no, but that is for an ordinary Grihastha Vaishnava. But you are very, very, very dedicated to Lord Vishnu. So you must do this. You must accept sannyas. So he said, no, Gurudeva, I cannot do this. And he went off. Then after a few days, again the spiritual master called him and said, no, but the deity is telling me again, you should take sannyas. You have to take sannyas. It is the Lord's injunction. And his injunction supersedes your consideration of being a neophyte. I don't know whether you are a neophyte or not. But the Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Spiritual Master. And he is saying that you are not. You must accept this. So again, he was just very depressed. He went back home. And his disciple notes that... And in the meanwhile, this rumor is going around amongst the woman community also. They're all hearing this, oh, this person, the guru wants the disciple to take sannyas. And his wife gets to know it. She's so paranoid. She can't even ask him anything. She's like mental completely. Oh, if my husband takes sannyas, what will I do? I'll just die. So then he also knows that his son is very attached to him. He knows his wife is very attached to him. So his disciple notes that he went home and he was trying to sleep. He could not sleep. He was simply depressed. His wife was also depressed. First of all, she was depressed that he's not sleeping. Then she was depressed that if he does take sannyas, then I'm gone. So in that way, until a very late night, he was like that. Then he went to sleep. Then when he went to sleep, then Bharati is the wife of Vayu, who is considered a very exalted Vaishnavi in their line. In fact, Vayu is considered number two Vaishnava in the universe, next to Lord Brahma. We are coming in the Brahma Sampradaya, so Brahma is the topmost Vaishnava. Below him is Vayu. Vayu's wife, Bharati, appeared to him. Madhvacharya is an incarnation of Vayu, if you don't know. So Bharati appeared to him. And personally instructed him, what is this illusion you are in? Wife, son, this is all Maya nonsense. What is this? You have to fight with all these Mayavadis. They are propounding all this nonsense that the world is false. And they are saying that Lord Vishnu is just as good as the living beings. You have to fight all this. There is so much work we have in store for you. You should do all this work. The Supreme Lord himself wants you to take sannyas. What is this here? You are in some delusion. So then he said, what will happen to my wife? What will happen to my son? She said, it's all illusion. We'll take care of it. Don't bother about it. So then he woke up, went to his guru, and he said, yes, I'm ready. The spiritual master was frightened about that lady, his wife. So he told the disciple, okay, we'll go to some other town, and in some other town, I'll give you sannyas. So he called him to Tanjavur, he called him and he gave him sannyas. So now the wife cannot see the husband's sannyas ceremony by Dharma Shastra. And the wife got to know that the husband took sannyas. So she got so disturbed, she went and she jumped into a well and she killed herself. Then she became a ghost. And that evening, now he took sannyas and his name was Raghavendra Tirtha. He was chanting japa. And at that time, the ghost, that lady came and cried to him, saying that, my lord, why did you do this? You knew very well that I'm very attached to you. And he said, the injunction of the Supreme Lord is beyond all considerations. The Supreme Lord, the superior spiritual masters, he was referring to Bharati and my spiritual master, they have instructed me like this. Don't be caught up in this illusion. It is all Maya and nonsense. And then he chanted some Vishnu mantra into some Achaman water and threw it on her and delivered her from that ghostly existence. He said, may you get a gross body and continue in your sadhana so that you can also attain the Lord eventually. So that's like that. When somebody is at a higher level of eligibility and a personality like Lord Manu comes and says, no, you must take to Krishna consciousness like you took it before, they should not fight back. Many times we see, we might have engaged in Krishna consciousness very seriously at a certain point in our life, and then later on we become very spaced out, and then we associate with devotees who are more spaced out than us, and they glorify us, and therefore we think that we are very nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. So then, because we are in our own self-created illusion, we are basically surrounded by all yes men and glorifiers, so we are in constant illusion that I've made so much progress. You know, after all, everyone, I'm a human being, I'm a better human being than others. So we can come up with all these ideas, but the superior spiritual master, the pure Vaishnava, he is not bothered by this delusion. He will come and he'll chastise. No, you don't do this. This is not the path for you. For you it is a fall down. For others it is not a fall down. But for you it is a fall down. You should only think of upgrade. Don't think of downgrade and later upgrade. You should only think of upgrade. So therefore it is more important to listen to the criticism of a well-wishing superior Vaishnava than to listen to the glorification of a Vaishnava inferior. It's very important. Of course, it's very difficult to listen to criticism from someone who is not a well-wisher. You have well-wishers, you have indifferent persons, and you have ill-wishers. I'm not saying that we should try to listen to ill-wishing devotees. We should listen to well-wishing superiors who are competent enough to see through our anarthas and pull us up. Instead of listening to 10,000 people who glorify us as some great Uttamadhikari, it's better to listen to a sincere, superior, well-wishing God brother or superior Vaishnava or the bona fide spiritual master who tell us, no, you are in Maya. You are just a Kanishtha Adhikari. But you should become a Madhyamadhikari and Uttamadhikari. Therefore, the disappearance of a bona fide spiritual master is the greatest darkness for a disciple. Because you have no way out. Who's going to chastise you? Who's going to correct you? Who's going to bring you up? And therefore, it is our duty to fully depend on the bona fide spiritual master and his instructions and listen to superior Vaishnavas. You see, Dhruva Maharaj, he listens to Manu. And because he listens to Manu, he does not get complicated reactions based on this incident. And therefore, he can make quick spiritual progress. I'll end with this. I'll recite the verse and the translation. Tamena mangatmani mukta vigrahe vyapashritam nirgunam ekam aksharam atmanam anvichya vimuktam atmadrim yasmin midam bhedam asat pratiyate. My dear Dhruva, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person who is the infallible Brahman. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position, and thus by self-realization you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. Any comments? Any questions?
Hare Krishna. So, that's the word you were like speaking about. He took sannyas and then his wife killed herself. And there were like 25 nirjalas in his house. But he was saying he was just depending on Lord Vishnu.
I don't think we should try to imitate such highly Brahmanical activities. He did not have...
First of all, he should be responsible for his ashram. He has a wife and a kid.
I think, first of all, there is a great delusion in ISKCON about Brahmanical Grihastha life. They hardly understand Grihastha life. The only type of Grihastha life our devotees know about is the Kshatriya Grihastha life, which is filled with romance. Brahmanical Grihastha life, in Brahmanical Grihastha life, actually, for anyone who is seeking liberation, Vedic culture is divided, is actually, the Vedic population is basically of two categories. One is called the Bubukshu, and the other is called the Mumukshu. Those who are trying to enjoy through the Vedas, those who are trying to get liberated through the Vedas. So, first you have, and the rules are very, very different for these two categories. The rules for the second category, those who are trying to get out of the material world, are practically the highest injunctions for the first group. The highest injunctions, like for instance in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, there are some rules which actually are meant for sannyasis in the Varnashram system. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is meant for all living beings. Anybody in a human body who surrenders to Krishna, to Bhakti Yoga, can practice it. But there are some of the injunctions are actually provided in the Varnashrama system for sannyasis. So Jiva Goswami, in his commentary to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when it comes to one rule, he asks the question and answers the question. He asks the question, what is this? This is a rule for sannyas. And that rule Rupa Goswami has included for all Vaishnavas, of all ashramas, all varnas, and people even beyond Varnashrama Dharma who do Bhakti Yoga. Then he says, because the purpose of sannyas and the purpose of pure devotional service, which is the subject matter of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are the same. Therefore, they are meant to follow that sannyas, that particular injunction which is meant for sannyasis are applicable here. So, within our movement, many times they hardly understand the type of grihastha life that a liberation seeker is supposed to follow. This is very, very different from this whole conception of romance and all that. Very, very different. Very different. In fact, I'll tell you, my family members were taken to Krishna consciousness before. They came to the local ISKCON temple and they saw a brahmachari in love with a woman. They gave up Krishna consciousness. And they said, what? This is wrong. This is wrong. You people are seeking liberation. You cannot do things which are allowed within Vedic culture for us. You cannot do that. You know, Brahmanical Grihastha says a man cannot even choose his wife. You know that? He cannot even choose his wife. Love marriage is out of question for a Brahmanical Grihastha. His mother has to choose his wife. He cannot even choose a wife. What to speak of woman choosing her husband? That is even more weird. There's no question of these things. Only Kshatriyas are allowed Swayamvaras. Women could choose their husbands. Only Kshatriyas. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not even go see a Kshatriya. Pratap Rudra, he would not even go see him. Because it's more of passion. Grihasthas are not supposed to be like that. Shivananda Sen did not have romance with his wife. These things don't exist. They have authentic sex life for having Krishna conscious child. Of course, that's how you could get a Kavikarnapur Goswami. So, that is very, very different. Very, very different. You know, I will need at least 3 classes to speak about that. And probably I'll get 2% of the population sitting in that class. Because people also don't like to hear things like that. If you look at how Prabhupada dealt with his Grihastha disciples, that is Brahmanical Grihastha life. That is Brahmanical Grihastha life. When I got married, my Guru Maharaj told me, don't be just like an ISKCON Grihastha. You become a bona fide Brahmanical Grihastha. You be as much voluntarily poverty stricken as possible. Don't think about money. If you think about money, nobody will listen to your interpretation or understanding of Shastra. Correctly he told you. And then I thought that was something very extraordinary and above my head. And I thought that he is very cruel. So I went to Ravindra Swarup Prabhu and I told him that. My Guru Maharaj is telling me this. And Ravindra Swarup Prabhu told me, that's exactly what Prabhupada told us. That is how we were. And that is why Prabhupada said, my grihasthas are as advanced as my sannyasis. In fact, he said that during his time, there was a hall. And in that hall, they used cloth to separate rooms. And in each so-called room, there was a couple. So Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was living with his wife, with 2 children, in one cabin which is created by cloth. And he said that when his mother came to see him, she cried. But then Prabhupada said that no, this is how normal, this is normal grace to learn, that's all. There's nothing extraordinary about that. This is normal. This is how Brahmanas wear. Brahmanas wear like this. We are in some illusion about Brahmanical life. We are in illusion, we are in tamoguna about Brahmanical life. Not even rajoguna, tamoguna about Brahmanical life. Brahmana life is something completely different. You cannot have aristocratic Brahmanical life. Brahmana means one who does not want, he wants minimal material life. Minimal, bare minimum. And that minimum is not, he is not making that list of what is minimum. A pure devotee, spiritual master tells him what is minimum. He doesn't do that. He is very, very strict with himself. So we cannot, So Venkatanatha was a bona fide Brahmanical grihastha. Bona fide Brahmanical, he was not irresponsible. But because we are in tamoguna, we imagine he is irresponsible. It's correct. But we cannot imitate. The spiritual master will say, you are not a Brahmana, don't imitate that, you will fall down in 1.5 days. So he will say, you know, you should have a comfortable life. Have a big house. Nice, bring in money. Have nice cushion. Do, proper. Be situated at your level of conditioning. Within dharma, follow Krishna consciousness. But if somebody is Brahmanical, you know that is Brahmanical. That is how it is. So it's not irresponsible, it's correct. That is in fact the reason why the Rama deity wanted him to take sannyas. Because he was so exemplary. So exemplary, so spiritual. Extraordinarily spiritual in his grihastha life. Therefore the deity told him, told the spiritual master to tell him. That is extraordinary. We should always be aware of the ideal. We should always be aware of the ideal. Prabhupada said, when in South India he had gone to Vishakhapatnam or Simhachalam to take darshan of Narasimhadev, and he met one American scholar who had come to do some research. So Prabhupada asked, what research are you doing? Then he said, he's studying some tribals and something. Studying a group of tribals. Then Prabhupada said, what is the use of this research? Instead of researching some tribal people, he should do research on the ideal persons in Vedic society. He said, in India, thousands of people try to follow one ideal person. This is Vedic culture. We respect all the less than ideal devotees. We don't follow the less than ideal devotees. Following is meant for only the person who is Uttamadhikari. Anugatya is meant for Uttamadhikari. We respect all Vaishnavas. We respect all Vaishnavas. It's a fact. Following is something else. Follow means you have to follow the perfect spiritual master, bona fide Vaishnava, 100% Uttamadhikari. Therefore, as preachers, it is our duty to only transmit the perfect message and not mix it with our imperfect realizations, because immediately it becomes adulterated. The perfect message is non-different from the perfect spiritual master. Therefore, it has potency. So it is our duty to stick to that. And it is our duty to struggle to follow that. It is our duty to take help from all superior Vaishnavas to follow that. But the target is the highest goal. Perfect, pure devotional service. Should never compromise on this. If we don't cry for gold, you will never get gold. If you cry for silver and you imagine that is gold, you will get silver, which is gold-plated. That's all. Yadrishi, yadrishi, shraddha, siddhir, bhavati, tadrishi. Corresponding to what your abhilasha is, what your hankering is, you will get that. It is our duty, Prabhupada has taught us, to pray to Krishna for pure devotion service. Take advantage of this glorious Krishna consciousness movement. Respect Vaishnavas, serve Vaishnavas, specifically serve superior Vaishnavas. Superior Vaishnavas means more advanced Vaishnavas. Listen to the pure devotee spiritual master. Surrender to the bona fide guru. And accept this. This is the greatest gift of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yesterday I was talking to Chaitanya Tirtha Prabhu, my close friend. And I was telling him that what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving, he is giving something which previously was not at all given. Previously, all the subjects that we are discussing was not even, they did not even have, prior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was no question of thinking about what to do about those human beings who are born outside India. They didn't even bother about it. They didn't even bother about it. Because by their own bad karma, they are born outside. By good karma, you get a human body in that region which is south of Himalayas. Scripture itself says this. So they would simply go by that. Okay, if they are sufficiently eligible, they'll be born here. Then you train them up, then you bring them up. It is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who is the supreme controller. He himself has made the decision. No, I want to give the highest perfection to people who are in most of the ways ineligible for even rudimentary Vedic human life. He wants to give prema bhakti of swakiya rasa, parakiya rasa, higher than even swakiya rasa. He wants to give that pure devotional service, which is even rare in the higher planetary systems. He wants to give that. And Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, without the slightest adulteration, they want to give it. So it is something we cannot even imagine it. We cannot even imagine it. It's truly beyond our imagination. So we should grab this opportunity and not try to do better than Prabhupada. Simply grab this opportunity as it is. Just grab it. Grab it. Because it is an unbelievable, unheard of. It is an unheard of phenomenon. Truly unheard of. I was simply wonderstruck when I was contemplating on this. So we should just embrace the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should embrace Prabhupada's teachings and spread it throughout the world. Even though prior to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wouldn't even think about delivering anyone outside of India. Prabhupada has given that as our life mission. Our life mission is to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And of course, internally to attain Krishna's lotus feet. Truly extraordinary. Okay. Anything else? It's 9 o'clock. Any comments? Or otherwise, I'll stop with this. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.